This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the gorgeous Gale and Rice Village. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Trying to get some players in front of the ball here. Here's Winger now against Figueroa. Knocks it inside. Two guys confronting. Shot the goal! What a hit from Rico Clark! It would take Rico Clark to get the Dynamo back in this one, and he has done it. That is a laser that absolutely flashes like a blurry orb.
And welcome back to Soccer Matters here at the gorgeous Gale. 55-55 Morningside is the place to be. 55-55 Morningside is the place to be. Get in here. We're prepping for U.S. Paraguay tonight. We're also prepping for Colombia, Costa Rica. We just had Andrew and Natalia win tickets to tonight's Colombia-Costa Rica match. And they're pretty excited. They're heading out to Energy Stadium here tonight. So congratulations to both Andrew and Natalia. Quick word here for Bud Light. People say the country's divided, that we disagree on everything, and I can tell you that's not true. We agree on a lot. Puppy videos. Everybody likes puppy videos. Three-day weekends, free parking, queso, margaritas, Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo. You know what else everybody loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. So raise one right now. Join the Bud Light party and myself every Tuesday night for the Best in Soccer Talk. And thank you again for coming out. By the way, it's Best in Soccer Talk, self-proclaimed. Costa Rica, Colombia tonight at Energy Stadium. 50,000 people expected. It's about time we got a couple repping the U.S. in here. Thank you, guys. It's about time we got a few U.S. jerseys in here. And we expect to see a few more. So we'll continue on here with Wade Barrett. I know one of the things on the mind of Dynamo fans a lot that gets brought up on this show is the lone striker system. Is it something you're examining, potentially playing with two strikers in the future?
Glenn, I'm looking at everything going into the future. So I do think we've established a good shape against the ball in the last couple games, and I don't want to get too far away from that. But I'm very familiar with playing with two strikers. You know that was Dominic's system for a long time. I was a player in Dominic's system for a long time, and then I helped coach with him too. And I definitely think that there's something to that.
Christian Maidana, this is a good thing to bring up here because you told me that you were really defining his job and his role, the Argentine. You played him on the left side of midfield. It was a bit of a risk. It turned out pretty well, though, because this was a job and a role that you defined to him very differently. He's never been known to be in the best when the ball's been lost, but did some diligent work defensively for you and helped you control that side of the field.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chaco can do things with the ball that nobody else on the field can, and you want a player like that to be out on the field for you, but you do have to define very clearly what you expect of him against the ball, especially when you go on the road and you need to maintain that good shape against good attacking teams that have good players coming down the wing. So I thought he did a really, really good job paying attention to how I wanted him to play. And you can see when he gets the ball at his feet, he combines really well. He and Boniak had a good relationship. He and Bees had a good relationship. Those three have really good, you know, they have good movement, and they're just smart players. So you can see that we had some success going down that side.
Job definition, organization, better team shape, all these are the things I'm hearing you say. Is empowering these guys a little bit more another thing? Are you trying to empower these guys more? Because you're not the guy on the sideline yelling on game day. You want them to make the decisions on their own.
Yeah, absolutely. And Glenn, I want the guys to get the most out of their career. The guys have to be playing at their absolute maximum. So I've tried to, even in the short term, I've tried to come up with ways to encourage players to pay close attention to all the details along the way. I'm calling it kind of like the standard of performance. And every single thing we have to pay closer attention to, we have to try to recover better. We have to prepare better. We have to look at video better. We have to look at our analysis a little bit closer. We have to be a little bit more specific with our training and exactly what I'm asking them to do. We have to show them, teach them, and then give them the platform to go play. So it's chipping away, getting a little bit better at every single thing that I think between now and the end of the season, you'll see it in the results.
By the way, the Dynamo had not won on the road. Two games with Wade Barrett, picked up a point in both games. So that in itself, a manager has to use as a positive, right?
Yeah, and Glenn, we had two very good chances against Dallas in the second half that were just off. We had a good chance on the header against Vancouver in the last 3 or 4 minutes that could have turned into 3 points. So I want at some point, Glenn, for us to be completely gutted when we don't get 3 points on the road. But I think in those two performances, there were a lot of positives to take.
when the team wasn't doing well on the road, did the players hurt enough when you guys lost? Did they hurt enough?
It's always hard to tell, Glenn. But I do want to instill, not just in the games, I want to instill a winning mentality every single day that we arrive at training. So that's whether that's in a possession game. You need to define a way for a team to win a possession game, whether it's counting passes or whether it's, you know, 10 passes as a goal, having there be a winner. And I want every single player to want to win every exercise that we do at training every day. And if you're a team that loses, you should be gutted and ready to get back on the field the next day. You should have a bad afternoon because you're disappointed that you lost and you want to get back on the field and win.
He's the interim manager of the Houston Dynamo, Wade Barrett. We have to mention that he is interim right now, but I get the sense that the job is there for you to win.
Time will tell, Glenn. And honestly, the approach has to be one day at a time, one training session at a time. I'm going to try to be good at what we do tomorrow. I'm going to try to be good at what we do on Monday. And then, you know, you just kind of keep taking one day at a time. And again, if we can get a little bit better in every single thing, even with this group, if no changes happen to the group, I want to try to get more from the group than what we've got.
Slow build here for you, right? The first thing you wanted to do when you came in was make them more organized, make them more competitive, and then you platform off that.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about putting bricks down, but you got to make sure that that first brick gets set before you put the next one on. So one little piece at a time, and I really think that when we get to the end of the season, we will have built something nice.
Now, your team back in 6 and 7 when soccer returned professionally here to Houston, there were four or five teams prior that never stuck, leagues that never stuck. Now there's a league that has built some firm grassroots and have dug roots in. It's not going away. Major League Soccer is never going away. Your team, you were a quiet leader, but I always looked at your team and I said, that was a team of men. And my definition of men was a bunch of very responsible, competitive guys. Nobody that had to be coddled. A lot of the internal problems and spirit of the team, a lot of times I thought was solved by the players itself, by the manager. So I look at that team, and I know it's a very differing team, and I know you want to differ yourself from that team, and I look at these players now. Has the player changed to you now? And that's 10 years we're talking now.
Yeah.
Major League Soccer's different.
And, Glenn, it's a good point because you do. You think back even to when I was playing, and you think there wasn't as much for the players. I mean, we trained out of Robertson. You know, our locker room was at Robertson Stadium. Every time University of Houston had a home football game, they had to move every single thing out of the locker room because we were the second citizen there. So now we get to today. And the modern athlete has just about everything for them. We have advances in the sports science. We do all the data analytics. We have advances in nutrition. And we know too much about all those things to ignore those things. So how do you give the players everything but still have them show up and hungry and with an appetite to win every single day? And that's just what we have to create within the group. So you're right. We did have a group of men. We had a group of winners, guys that cared about winning. And we had a good core leadership group. It wasn't just one player. We had four or five guys on the team that were really like the leadership core, and it kept the entire team in good balance. So it's difficult. I think it's a difficult balance to reach, but it's one that I'm going to try to create.
Major League Soccer now, in your eyes, how much has it changed, and what are some of the biggest changes that you see? Let's start with just playing style and tactics.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, Glenn, There have been tremendous players in this league from day one. I mean, you look back at what some of the number 10s were in this league back in the day.
Echeverry.
You had Marco Echeverry. You had Carlos Valderrama. Anyway, I'm sure that I'm missing some. There were just some excellent players in the league. But things have changed, and I do feel like there are more attacking formations. The tactics of the game have evolved a little bit. You know, teams have gone into playing with one forward, but they're also playing with some electric wingers. So there's just kind of some things that I think are in the league now that we didn't have before. So it really does require that you either have a plan that you stick with all the time and you look to perfect, or you do have to make little minor changes here and there along the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, very differing teams in this league each and every weekend. The way they play, what their emphasis is on, and how they attack, where they pressure, how they pressure. It's got to be a lot of film work.
It's a lot of film work, but, you know, that's valuable, and I think you give that to the guys little pieces at a time. Earlier in the week, you can show them a little bit about maybe what you think should be better from the previous weekend and little tactical changes that you can make there, and you try to apply that to who your next opponent might be and see if any of that's relevant. Now, I don't think that we have to sit down for an hour-long video session every single day, but if I chip away over the course of a week and give them little pieces here and there, I think it gives them to them in an amount that they can process that we can put into training that day and focus on, and then by the end of the week, we will have had four or five things that we focus on every single day so that we get a complete picture when we get to the weekend.
Always tricky when an assistant coach, who sometimes has to be a little bit more of a friend to the players than the head coach, takes the head coaching job. Has that been a challenge at all? And have you seen now, a reaction from players that is different, or has it just been a nice, smooth transition?
I'm not friends with any of them.
No? Good.
No, it's a. Of course, it's a little bit of a transition because your role as an assistant coach to then being the head coach, it is different, and you are looked at a little bit differently. But again, Glenn, I feel like I've been preparing for this for a long time. I feel like most of the players really know me; they know my personality. I don't think they're surprised by a lot of the things that I'm trying to implement. So I don't think that transition has been difficult at all.
No, it's probably been pretty enjoyable, right?
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, are you enjoying it? I mean. Because now it's up to you to put a plan in place. It's up to you to motivate. It's up to you to delegate. I mean, these are all the things that, look, 7 years as an assistant, I'm sitting there going, I think he wants to be a head coach one day.
Yeah, well, Glenn, I'll tell you, even in the short term, you know, as an assistant coach, you really are an assistant coach, and your primary responsibility is coaching the game. And, you know, that's what I did under Dominic. That's what I've done under Owen. I've helped coach the game on the field. But when you step into this role, there's a whole new level of management that comes into play. And I've really enjoyed that part of it. So, but I will say, at the heart of things, you just like getting out on the field. And you like being able to put your plan in place on the field.
What dramatically, or have you made any bigger change when it comes to training, the sessions, the time of the sessions, what you emphasize? I know you're a stickler for details as well.
Yeah, the trainings have changed, and we are going to look at every single thing we can to try to improve. So we're going to look at the time of training. It's something that we've never really adjusted here. Sometimes in the summer we go a little bit earlier. We've never looked at training in the afternoon or the evening. So I want to look at that. I want to look at how we can maybe recover a little bit better.
Why would you want to train in the afternoon or evening?
What's the most important event that we take part of during the week?
So you'd mirror game day.
It's the game.
So
the game
train at the same time as the game, normally? 7 o'clock to 9?
All I can say, Glenn, is that we're going to look
cooler.
At it. So I've talked to everybody on the staff, and I've said, over the next few days, we have to come up with, in your ideal world, when the team is operating at its complete maximum, what do you think we're missing from that ideal? And we're going to sit down in a couple days, and we're going to talk through things. Now, Glenn, we can't implement every single thing right now. I'm sure that if I take everything from Paul Caffrey and his sports science department, we can't implement every one of those things in the next week. So we'll evaluate what we think we can implement now, what won't be too big of a change for the players, because all along you have to bring the players along. You can't just throw everything at them and expect that they're going to be okay with the change. So we have to be careful about how we implement those things. But I want to look at every single aspect of how we operate and see, okay, we can do this now. For the next month, let's implement that. Okay, once we get that in place, can we get a little bit better here? Let's make a change here so that it's not all at one time.
One player that's very popular in Houston, although on the field it is shown glimpses, but it really hasn't got there, the designated player, Kubo Torres. Now, he's going to the Olympics, I'm pretty sure, right? Likely he's going to the Olympics with Mexico. How much are we going to see Kubo around here the next couple of months? And, boy, if he goes away with Mexico now, it's almost like you're going to lose this guy for quite an extended period of time.
You won't see him around here a whole lot in the next little bit of time because he is going to be involved in that group. Now, of course, they're calling in a bigger group now, and it'll get narrowed down before the Olympics starts. I mean, honestly, Glenn, I want the best for Eric. So I want him to go and have a good tournament. I want him to go have a good tournament just for him. So to gain a little bit of confidence, to get those goals. And then the future will take care of itself. I can't tell you where we're going to go on that one. But I do know that he's a big part of their plans. I hope he makes the team. I hope he does well.
Do you not think the team becomes different and more interesting when he's in it? The type of soccer player that he is and the qualities that he brings.
Yeah, well, I mean, Glenn, he is a goal scorer. And I do think with him around, I think we can look at the one forward system, but I think we can look at the two forward system too. So, again, I can't get too far ahead because he's going to be missing right now. So I'm going to prepare the team as best I can for the next couple games. And if we do have the chance to have Eric back in the fold, I'm going to do everything I can to try to coach him a little bit better, to give him the confidence, and to get the most out of him that we can.
All right, rare moment here to see the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Wade Barrett. Give him a round of applause, please, and thank him for making the effort to come out here tonight. Wade, thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenn.
Very appreciate it a lot. Best of luck Wednesday and Saturday. It's Wade Barrett, everybody. We'll take a quick break here. We will come back with more Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 Live, 55-55 Morningside. We are in West University, and that was a nice visit and interview with the Dynamo manager, Wade Barrett. We'll break. We'll come back. We'll start to talk U.S. Paraguay and Costa Rica, Colombia, Los Cafeteros.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the gorgeous Gale and Rice Village. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Bedoya, back for DeAndre Edlin. Running it to the end line. Take that, Matarita. The cross was there. Is that a penalty?
Yes, the referee's got to be with us now and called it. Yeah, absolutely, 100% a penalty.
Looked like a late call, but the right one. Dempsey walks up, takes it, scores! The U.S. leads, Dempsey's 50th.
Welcome back to the Gorgeous Gale, 55-55 Morningside, as we continue on here. Great Irish pub here. Great play for soccer watching. By the way they got the monitors set up, nobody can miss a singular pass, a singular goal. Copa Centenario will be on these monitors. 100-year-old tournament, 32 games, 16 teams, one champion. It could very well be Colombia. Tonight, Colombia will take on Costa Rica at Energy Stadium, expecting 50,000 people. From what I'm told, Mike Pearson just told me that it's pretty crazy out at Energy right now with the Colombian fans having a great time celebrating before the game. Then we got Mexico, Venezuela on Monday, and a semifinal at Energy that could very well be an Argentina, you name it. Tickets on sale still at ca2016.com. I think about 190,000 people, somewhere around there, will go through these three games in Houston. All right, sitting next to me, round of applause for Houston Dynamo defender David Horst, who's taken the time to come out here today. And he's been focused on the Copa Centenario. Before we talk Dynamo, we're going to talk a little U.S. national team. You being a big center back, you being a guy who plays that position, I want to take you to a former Dynamo, Jeff Cameron, and John Brooks, the two U.S. center backs. Talk a little bit about their partnership and how they play as one and what you like about them.
You know, they bring a very physical aspect to the game. And, you know, both they play in separate leagues. They speak different languages. And I think you saw in that first game against Colombia, they were kind of getting the kinks worked out a little bit. You know, a center-back partnership isn't something you form in 2 to 3 weeks. It's something that's formed over 6 months to 12 months. And I think you kind of saw in that Colombia game, you know, they worked some stuff out between the two of them. And I think you saw a lot better partnership with them in Costa Rica. And hopefully the partnership keeps getting better going into tonight's game against Paraguay.
All right, so I'm going to take you to the critical play in that game against Colombia that changed the game, that led to the pretty incredible volley. I think it was Zapata, right, who hit the volley against the U.S. But Jeff Cameron kind of got picked off on that set piece. Now talk about that, because, you know, that's something people notice in other sports, but there is a ton of that going on where people are picking people off and stepping it into each other's pass and balls delivered very contrived. So talk about that play.
It was definitely a set play by Colombia. And, you know, we work on that, off the offensive corners, every week doing stuff like that. And, you know, as a defender, you got to get a hand on the guy that you're marking. And I'm not saying necessarily hold him, but you got to get a hand on him. You got to get a body in the way. You can't let him get around the pick and get a free run of the ball like the guy did in that game. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Jeff goes back, he looks at the tape, realizes what he did wrong, and corrects it going forward.
Can you pass that guy on in that situation if you're communicating with the other guy, your partner?
The play happens so quickly in the box that it's probably better off that you don't pass him on, because if you both don't do the correct thing, you both will mark the same man and leave somebody open. And you got to fight through the pick. You got to impede the other guy's path and get into that ball. And hopefully, like I said, going forward that they've seen that and they've corrected it.
So we're finally seeing some consistency from Jurgen Klinsmann, and it's pretty interesting. It's happening at this moment. So we're thinking it's Brad Guzan, Johnson, Brooks, Cameron, Yedlin, the back four, Bradley sitting in front of them, Jones, Bedoya, Wood, Dempsey, and Zardes. That's what we would imagine, although with Jurgen Klinsmann, you never know. Do you think they line up in a 4-3-3, or do you think they line up in a 4-4-2 like they changed to after about 25 minutes against Costa Rica? Based on this opponent, Paraguay.
I think they'll start in the 4-3-3 again, and they'll see how things are going, and if they need to change, they will. But Klinsmann's been pretty faithful to that 4-3-3, so I think he's going to trust it going into this game, and like I said, if it's not working, they'll change it, and hopefully he makes a change at the correct time.
To me, Paraguay is a team that's strong up the middle of their team. A lot of their strength and riches are there, and if you go into that, you're probably not going to be successful. They're pretty determined. They defend well. They're organized. To me, the wide game today is critical for the United States to stretch their midfield out a little bit and really widen the game out. What did you see from DeAndre Yedlin and Fabian Johnson in the last game as far as their ability to go forward? Obviously, speed.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is getting those outside backs around the outside midfielders and getting them forward, getting good crosses into the box. Because if we don't get that width and that length from those guys, then we're going to have to play through the middle. And like you said, we don't want to do that. That's where Paraguay is very strong. So we got to get those guys forward in the good spots and getting good crosses in.
What about Jermaine Jones? Two very different games. Looked a little off the pace and tempo of the game against Colombia, and then has an unbelievable game against Costa Rica.
Yeah, he's put in a great shift with Colorado this year, and I think he was a little tired going into that first game and a little rusty. But like you said, he put in a great shift against Costa Rica. He's an older player. He's played in big games. He's done it before. He knows how to do it. So hopefully, he's ready for tonight and brings it again for us.
Houston Dynamo center back David Horst in the house here tonight. My thanks for David to make his way out here on the weekend. Makes it interesting and exciting for all of you who come here as well. You get to know David and the Houston Dynamo. All right, you've played against some of the guys in Major League Soccer that are in this starting lineup. Clint Dempsey, Jazzy Zardes, how about a word on those two?
Zardes he's had a fantastic year so far. He's the kind of guy that can really break open a game for us. If he gets the ball in the right spots and can do the right things with it, I think he's going to have a heck of a game tonight. And, of course, everybody knows who Clint Dempsey is and what he does and what he's capable of. So, hopefully he brings that same mentality tonight and really leads these guys to a victory, because he's the older guy out there. He needs to be that shining light that we look to lead us through games like this.
David Horst joining us here. We're at 55-55 Morningside. It is the Gorgeous Gale. If you're interested in the U.S. and Paraguay, that's coming up live here in probably about 30 minutes. We got a lot of Colombian fans here with the yellow jerseys. Clearly most established here in this bar. They're going to be heading over to see Colombia against Costa Rica tonight at Energy Stadium. All right, shifting it to the Dynamo and you. Now, you've partnered Raul Rodriguez. You've partnered Agus, the Spaniard. So you've had two differing partners here. How difficult is that, and how competitive has it been for playing time with the two other center backs?
Personally, for me, it's been great, because every single day that both of them are pushing me to get better and to really earn that spot going into the weekend. And playing with them, they each bring a different set of skills to the table. Goose, he's very physical. He's very, very dominant, with his body. And Raul, he's better on the ball. He brings a more mental side to the game than what a Goose does. And I think they both have very good qualities that match up with me. And, I've done well with both of them. And, whoever is partnered going forward, hopefully that we keep doing well and we do well defensively and keep a zero back there.
All right, let's talk about Wade Barrett, new interim manager, guy that's got everybody's respect. I don't think there's any question about that. What's been different under Wade as opposed to Owen Coyle?
I think the guys have a lot of respect for Wade and with the game plan that he brings to the table. Going into the Vancouver and Dallas game, Wade had a very specific plan that he wanted us to execute, and we implemented that week going into the games, and I think the guys did a heck of a job executing it in the game. You know, it's not easy to go into Vancouver. It's not easy to go into Dallas and get points, and we went to both places and got a point in each one.
All right, so when a management change is made, assistants then become a head coach. Were you guys wondering what it was going to be like with Wade as a head coach? Because, let's face it, he's going to be doing things he hasn't done as an assistant. So was there a little bit of a nebulous period there where you guys are kind of like this, and you're looking at him, all right, what's Wade going to bring to the table? Or did you pretty much know what was going to come?
You know, I think the guys knew what Wade was going to bring to the table in terms of professionalism and game plans, because Wade was that guy during the week when Owen was here who was sitting down doing video with guys, showing guys what they did well, what they didn't do well on, and kind of showing that Wade sat down with the back four at the beginning of the year almost every week and was saying, hey, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to look out for, and these are things that we need to focus on going into the weekend. So I think a lot of the guys knew what to expect from Wade and knew what he was going to bring to the table. And then, you know, a couple years ago when it was announced that Dom was leaving, Wade ran practice for 2 weeks. So the guys that were here then, we knew what Wade was capable of and what he would do on a day-to-day basis. So we kind of had that experience from then. And, you know, Wade has done, I think he's done an absolutely fantastic job here over the last few weeks with us.
Behind us on the screen, you see the U.S. at, I believe that's Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, warming up for their game against Paraguay. Some say Jurgen Klinsmann's job is on the line if they don't advance. With a win, they will. With a draw, they still will, I believe. A loss, no. So we'll see. It's a big pressure-filled day for U.S. soccer, by the way. You Colombians aren't the only ones who get the good fortune of having pressure in this tournament. You're one of the favorites, by the way. I don't know if you know that. We're just letting you know that. When you have James Rodriguez, Carlos Bacca, Cuadron, you're a favorite. Okay, so we're just reminding you guys of that. Coming up, two games this week. You got an Open Cup game on Wednesday, then you turn around DC United. Are you itching to get back playing again? Has the break been a little bit too long? Has it been good? How's it worked for you, David Horst?
I think the break's been great for me physically and mentally to kind of recharge a little bit. But, you know, I want to get back out there and get playing again. We work all week long for those games. So it'll be good to see, you know, what Wade has done with us and the way the guys, you know, have recharged and getting ready for this game on Wednesday against San Antonio.
Then it's DC United comes into town. They're a little bit different now with the Argentine midfielder. I think it's Lucian Acosta. What does he bring?
He's a dynamic player. I've watched a couple of their games this year, and he can do some fantastic things with the ball. And he's the kind of guy that, you know, when you go up against him, what is he going to do? And he can probably pull anything off at any moment. So he's kind of the guy that you're going to have to be very careful going up one-on-one defending, and you're going to have to know where he is on the field at all times.
So Wednesday, the Dynamo will play in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup against FC San Antonio, which is a couple tiers down. That's actually pretty interesting because it could be the beginning of kind of continuing to conjure up a little rivalry. One day Major League Soccer may come to San Antonio. And then on the weekend, it's DC United coming to town. You can get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Go out and see Wade Barrett. Go out and see David Horst. When Wade was in here interviewed before you, Wade spoke a lot about organization and players getting more out of themselves, being a little bit more disciplined. What's the difference between Wade and under the Owen regime? And we're not casting stones here, but these are legit questions when a management change is made.
You know, it's not casting stones at all. It's just two different styles of play, two different styles of organization going into a game. And Owen was the kind of guy, he wanted us to press at all times and keep them pinned in their own end. But when you play against teams like a Vancouver and a Dallas, you can't always do that. And Wade told us during the week, you know, this is where our line of confrontation is going to be. Do not leave that line, whatever you do. Unless, you know, it's a turnover, unless the defenders have their back turned to us, then we can go press. But if those situations do not happen, then we have to be in our lines. We have to have Will, then our line of four, then Colin, then the line of defenders. if we can stay compact and in that formation, we're going to be very hard to break down. And we played two very good offensive teams, and they had a very tough time breaking us down. You know, we might not have had, you know, the offense that we would have liked in those games, but defensively, from the defenders and midfielders, we were very compact and very hard to break down.
Makes sense going back to that. That would likely be what a manager would do stepping in.
Yeah.
Still has to go in and do it, right?
Exactly.
Do you think you were too open at times? And do you think you have the makeup of players? Do you have the makeup of players to play open like that? Because it didn't seem to always work. So is it sort of a balance between the two? In other words, you're not going to become a less attack-oriented team, or will it become a little bit less attack-oriented and a little bit more calculated?
Well, I think on the road it's going to be a little bit more defensive-oriented. But when we're at home, we're still going to be that same team that's going out to attack people. You know, we have the greatest home field advantage in this league of the heat. Teams are going to die, and that's when we can go press them, is when they get tired. And when we're at home and we can really get the ball going forward. But, you know, on the road, it's a different game. It's not easy to win on the road in the MLS. And, you know, if we can come in and have a very defensive mentality, and then when we win the ball, go forward as a group, I think that's really going to help us going forward, because, you know, we didn't have that makeup. We didn't have that organization to play an open game. We just didn't have that. And I think with Wade coming in, he's kind of really eliminated a lot of that. And I think it's going to show going forward on the road, you know, that we're going to start picking up some points, that we're going to be disciplined. Guys aren't going to be chasing balls everywhere like they were before. And I think it's going to be really good for us going forward.
So differing tactics, more defined on the road as opposed to home.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to get one more word out of you with the U.S. Paraguay game. Because
okay.
The way I look at this game, and by watching Paraguay in the first couple of games, they'll play pretty direct at times when teams are in possession deep in their half of the field. Your job as a center back, and today Jeff Cameron and John Brooks, I think are going to have to deal with some balls and situations that are going to come off awkward clears and things like that when the U.S. might be getting a lot of the possession and the territorial play. Just talk about when you don't have the ball as a center back and where the mental side of the game comes in and how focused you have to be as a central defender without the ball, because, you know, everybody thinks it's all about the guy on the ball, and we all know that the game is played when you don't have the ball.
Exactly. And the biggest thing for a center back is when your team doesn't, you know, when your team does have the ball, you still have to be clued in and focused, because at any moment that ball could turn over and the other team will be on a counterattack. And, you know, when we're playing against a team like FC Dallas who counterattacks everyone, you know, you have to know where Mauro Diaz, you have to know where Fabi Castillo is. You have to know at all times, even when you have the ball and when you don't have the ball, where the playmakers are. Because when that ball turns over, those are the guys that they're going to go to immediately. And when that happens, you have to be ready for it. You have to be able to shut down those guys before they turn and run at you. And I think that, you know, when the ball is played long over the top, if there's no pressure on that first ball, then Brooks and Cameron are going to have to drop and kill that space behind them so that they can win the header and then have Bradley pick up the second ball in front of them.
Speaking of Michael Bradley, in the last couple games, you've had Colin Warner sitting in front of you two guys. How much moving him hip do you do? In other words, you're behind him. Here he is. You move him left. You move him right. You have him press forward. He's almost like a third center back, essentially.
Yeah, it's a more of a triangle relationship that we have with him there. And he protects us because he takes away those passing lanes into the forwards that are in front of us. We can cover the space behind us, but he has to protect the space in front of us.
Round of applause for David Horse for making it out here today. Thank you very much, David, for coming. Houston Dynamo will be in action against... we got some Costa Ricans lighting it up in here, David.
Hey, I like the spirit in here.
It's good. David, thank you very much. Best of luck against D.C. Wednesday in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, one more round of applause for David Horst. Nice of him to come out here today, and I appreciate it very much. Copa America, tonight it's Colombia, Costa Rica, then you got Mexico, Venezuela, semifinal here. Tickets on sale at ca2016.com. The Copa America trophy will be down at... Let me make sure I know where this is. 1107 Shaver Street in Pasadena at the Walmart. If you want your photo taken with the Copa America Centenario Trophy, 100-year tournament. That's why it's being played in the U.S. We'll take a break. 713-780-3776 is the number.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from the gorgeous Gale and Rice Village. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Пата Джейсон Мурильо. Можно детей пугать ночью, если им комиксы какие-нибудь такие чернушные из этих персонажей составить. И вот, пожалуйста, второй подряд угловой удар. И Карлос Бакка.
Well, welcome back to the Gorgeous Gale here. 55-55 Morningside is the place. If you're out and about on the town, the U.S. and Paraguay, probably about 15 minutes away. We can see it behind here. Don't panic. I won't be talking in about 15 minutes. So there will be no live radio then, so I want to get out of here unscathed tonight. So I promise you we will be done at the top of the hour so that we can put the audio on for the U.S. and Paraguay, all right? We gave away a pair of tickets to a couple people tonight for the game out at Energy. So that was a lot of fun. We've had in here Wade Barrett tonight. We've had in here also David Horst, the center back for the Houston Dynamo. So it's been a pretty good day here. I'm excited for all of you from Colombia here in Costa Rica tonight that are going to be celebrating out at Energy tonight. It's going to be quite the fiesta out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I hope you all have a great time out there tonight. If anybody wants a late phone call here, it's 713-780-3776. Now for these two lonely U.S. fans right up here. Guys, stand up for a second. Stand up for a second. Give these guys a round of applause. I mean, for crying out loud, where are the U.S. fans? Oh, there we are. Okay. I was a little worried here. I'm seeing a lot of Costa Rican red, and there's a few Three Lions fans hanging around, and then, of course, there's yellow everywhere. And what's the name of that good restaurant again? Mi Pueblita? With an O, sorry. Forgot. I got my gender wrong? Okay. I didn't mean to. I wish you guys, I'm going to go there because I'm very interested in good Colombian food, and thank you for taking the poll. Okay, so U.S. and Paraguay coming up again. I think you heard David Horst and I talking about this game, and this is a very pressure-filled game for the United States. I don't think there's any question. Jurgen Klinsmann's job, I think, is on the line. I don't think there's any question about that either. In fact, if the U.S. were to lose here tonight, hosting this tournament in the United States, the Copa America Centenario, you wonder why it's here. It's because it's a 100-year tournament. It's been brought here to celebrate the 100 years, and it's also been brought here because there's a hell of a lot of money to be made. And we're all helping to make it, but we're all loving it as it goes along. So let's not forget what it means from a financial standpoint to Houston that 190,000 fans are going to the games. There's people coming in from all over the world. It is pretty incredible when you think about the impact that the international game is now having on Houston, because for all of us here, that's never going to stop. It's going to continue here. You're going to see the stars coming here every summer. There are going to be differing tournaments. There's going to be top Mexican League teams here. This city's identified as a hotbed, and they know you're going to come out and you're going to spend your dollars on what is the game we all love. So there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not going away, and that's why Energy Stadium's been built. That's why BBVA Compass Stadium's been built, is because there is a clear, defined understanding that there are people from all over the globe that love soccer here in Houston, including us American guys. Stand up again, guys, please. One more time. Give these guys a round of applause. Come on. Hey, by the way, I would like two beers for those gentlemen on Glenn Davis here. Okay? Please. No guys with Newcastle. Is that a Newcastle jersey? Is that a Newcastle jersey you're wearing? That takes some guts to come in here with that on. No, that's good. That's a great soccer-playing part of England. I'm only kidding. We do mention tonight, we don't think Jurgen Klinsmann is going to change anything. I don't know if anybody saw a lineup that's been put up there, but I believe it is the same 11, if I'm not mistaken. A little bit on Paraguay tonight. Los Paraguayans, are there any Paraguayans in the house? There's one right there. Come on up here, sir. Come up here. No? You're afraid? Come on. This is Paraguay's big chance here. You're the only Paraguayan in here. Come on up here. Give this guy a round of applause. No. You got to be nice to him. He's doing a nice thing here coming up. How are you? What's your name? What is your name?
No stripes. That's why I had to go camouflage.
Ah, I got you. Here, put these on. Okay. So what's your name again?
I'm Brian.
Brian. So give Brian a round of applause. Don't boo Brian. Come on. Just because you got strength in numbers, Colombia, be nice. Now, why are Costa Ricans hanging with Colombians? It's not supposed to happen. Oh, that's your red jersey. I'm sorry. So there are no Costa Ricans in here tonight. Are there any Costa Ricans here? Where are you guys? Guys, stand up. All right, they're the Costa Ricans. Okay, so we got... All right. So your name again is?
Brian.
Okay, this is Brian.
Yeah.
Very American name.
It is.
But Brian Ruiz has got the same as well, so that's not bad as well. And you got Sousa.
That's my last name.
So tell me... Brian Ruiz of Costa Rica. All right, so talk to me a little bit about Paraguay. Are you disappointed about where they are in the tournament?
Yes. I mean, I think that Paraguay has had a very young team. We used to have phenomenal players about like 10 years ago, and we're going through that transition, going to the new generation, and we've been struggling a great deal with that.
Talking about Jose Cardoso, Chilavert, all the famous guys, Roca Santa Cruz.
Exactly.
All those famous guys. Listen, Paraguay's got a great soccer history, and it's a small country. There's no doubt about that.
So that's kind of what's been going on. Very disappointing for the fans because we always used to go to the World Cup and, have a great support behind it, and it's been disappointing to see that. But I think the new coach is doing great. I think he just needs some time to develop all the players and have a compact team that plays together. So to see if we can go somewhere. But a little bit of my story, I am from Paraguay originally, of course, and I came to the U.S. with a soccer scholarship, so played actually in North Carolina.
Yeah, I recognize your name, actually.
So anyways, and then, ended up staying, so I'm kind of split hard in between the U.S. and Paraguay.
We love that, though.
But it is what it is. So
if I'm correct here now, I want to ask you a very important question. How many Paraguayans you think are in Houston, in the Paraguayan community?
Probably not as many,
no.
But it's a big city. I just moved in about a year and a half ago.
Could you give me a number, or you don't know yet?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. But
so a number of these guys are Paraguayan-based. Oscar Romero also is not available tonight. That's a big loss.
He's a great player. And I think we've just seen the beginning of it. I think he's going to turn out to be one of the references of Paraguay here in the future.
Who are the guys you like? You like Lescano, Almiron, Ortiz?
Almiron is another player, very young, but I think he's going to also be somebody that we'll probably hear a lot about.
Okay, we only have 2 minutes. This is my last question. I don't want to be the dark cloud, but in their last 16 Copa matches. Do you know what Paraguay's record is? You're not going to like this.
No,
I might not want to say this.
No, you should. You should.
You sure?
Yeah.
In their last 16 Copa America matches, Paraguay are 1-6-9. But the good news is, against the U.S., 2-2-2.
Not bad. Tied all across the board.
We're glad you're here. Thanks for being a good sport.
Hey,
thanks for coming up here, Brian. Give Brian a round of applause.
Good luck. Appreciate it.
And, Colombians, be nice to Brian. Be nice to Brian. All right, I think that's going to wrap it up here, right? We got to go? We have 1 minute. So in this minute, I'm going to say I hope everybody enjoys the rest of the Copa Centenario. If you have an opportunity to get out to it, do it. All you Colombians and Costa Ricans who are out at Energy tonight, have a great time. Be safe out there. Thank you for coming to the Gorgeous Gale 5555. Morningside here in West U, and you can catch me on the air again 7 o'clock to 9 on Tuesday on ESPN 97.5. And by the way, for those of you who go to the game tonight, I want to hear from you on Tuesday night about your experiences at Energy Stadium. Thanks for coming, everybody. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the games tonight.